Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing time.
I'm recording this at, I think it's like 11:15 p.m. right now. So for those of you watching on YouTube, it might be a little bit strange. It's kind of dark. I do have a very aggressive light shining on me right now. but it felt most joyful and intuitive for me to record and share something right now. And before we dive into the subject, as some of you know, something I'm kind of working on and playing with is following my joy and following my intuition. And my inner voice actually tells me often that whenever I have free time and I feel like it feels fun to record a video or a podcast or share something, I feel like I'm coming into a season of life of that it's time right now to be putting out work and serving people and working with people. And I also feel very kind of pent up with a lot of ideas and thoughts that I want to put out to the world and see what happens with them, right? Like things wanting to come through me. It's very interesting to be in this place because for a long time I would hear from my inner voice things like meditate or spend time in nature, spend time in the earth, like just basically heal, focus on healing. And I think I've come to a place where I've reached a certain level of healing, and now there's an amount of like giving back and work and passing on the information that has to happen. And of course, I think this happens in cycles and seasons. So I'm sure that, you know, in some time, maybe next year or in 5 years or I don't know when, or next month, there will be a time of rest and kind of coming back within. So as I explore this and kind of show how that works for me, I encourage you to play with this and also do the same. So I just came from leading a conscious leadership for mothers workshop this evening here locally in person, which was so beautiful. And I think that's why I'm kind of feeling very clear and grounded in my body. We did some very simple movement exercises and kind of Qigong exercises and some song, and but I haven't done much Qigong in group. I've done almost all of it online on my own, just on my own personal practice. And wow, the group energy, I find it's like it affects me even more. Anyway, the energy in the group today was very beautiful, and I'm kind of riding that wave and wanting to share it here in a video or on a podcast. And that is what feels most joyful to do at this moment. So the topic I wanted to discuss today was about, before I jump into that, I did want to mention that the month of April, I think I mentioned this before for us, so it's now May, early May, just past Beltane. The month of April was a month of rest. We were sick and we were just kind of resting, and part of this also working when it feels joyful thing is also to rest when rest is being called for. And it's been very interesting to radically surrender to that. Like if there's a day where I just feel like lying down, I will just do that and let the day unfold and not feel guilty for it. It's been very beautiful. It feels like a weight off my shoulders to experience this. Okay, getting into the subject matter, which is what to do when a child says, I'm just a bad kid. Like they did something bad, maybe they got punished for it. And so then they're saying out loud that now they're just a bad kid, or the worst kid ever, or they're just bad. And this was a question that was brought up by one of the moms today in the group. And I'm very, very grateful for that question, because it's like a pretty specific thing to talk about. And I kind of shared some things with her, and we had a beautiful group discussion. And I think some of the things that came up will be useful for other mothers here listening. And so I'm going to dive into that. So one of the first things is that we have to remember who we're talking to. So the age of the child that we're talking to. And this kind of comes maybe from the Waldorf philosophy study that I've done. But a big thing that they harp on is meeting the child where they're at. And so any child who's under really the age of six, seven, we're going to try to not use too many words when we're solving problems. It's not really the time to be intellectually or logically thinking about things. So another mom today asked about applying the concepts of conscious leadership to children, and to talk about it with them, and to use the concept of the line and encourage them to be above the line instead of below the line. And when I feel into that, I think that there's probably a way to play with this with four-year-olds. But it would have to be very playful, and we definitely don't want to get into any big conversations. Like at four, they're not really super aware even about what's happening within them. They're not really aware that they're thinking about their thoughts. Like my nine-year-old is just now realizing that she can have like self-reflection, you know, that she's like, Mom, I just kind of sat and just thought for 10 minutes and I have these thoughts, these things in my head, you know? Like, it's not that they're not thinking before that, but they're not really self-aware. So we have to remember that children, teenagers, even young adults, are not mini humans. Their brains work very differently than ours, and their logical brain centers are not as activated. And I'm obviously not an expert in this kind of brain development stuff, but one thing they encourage in Waldorf education is to meet the children where they're at. So under the age of seven, especially under the age of four, we're not using too many words, and we're really staying in play. Okay, so that's the first thing that's important. Second thing is to realize what in us gets triggered when our child has these thoughts. So often our own emotions are going to be playing into these kind of situations when they say these things out loud. Because also one thing that's very important is that all people say things out loud that they don't truly mean inside, or that isn't like accurately representing the story that's inside of them. My husband taught me this. He's very intuitive, and he's like, don't listen to people's words. I'm like, what are you talking about? And of course, I think it's very important to listen to people's words, but we can listen how they say the words, or how they're feeling, what emotion they're saying the words. And there's like a way bigger story behind just the words that are being said, or like the tip of the iceberg of their actual inner experience, right? So we can often have our own personal trigger when a child is saying something to us like that. I've had my six-year-old, she's more melancholic than my elder child, and she kind of can get lost in these kind of loops more easily than her older sister. And then so what this mom was saying was that she was like, I feel so bad for her, like I don't want her to think this. And I tell her, and you know, if this mom and these women are with me, forgive me if I got anything wrong. I think she, I'm pretty sure she said her daughter was 4. There might be a 6-year-old. I don't know. There were a lot of different ages talked about tonight, but I'm going to be talking about, you know, specifically for the different ages of 4, 6, and maybe even regarding my 9-year-old. Like, what if my 9-year-old said something like that? What kind of a conversation would I have with her then? So yes, first of all, how are we being triggered? Because a lot of the times our own guilt, our own, the pressure that we keep ourselves under in terms of our parenting, and how, you know, this is another topic I kind of want to talk about, but how our kids turn out, we can have a lot of our self-esteem tied into our children. And so if they say something wrong, or if they feel bad, or if they feel sad, then like our whole self crumbles. And I do think this makes for difficult parenting and a challenging relationship, when our own inner world and our self-esteem and our own sense of self-approval are tied to the behaviors of our children. I feel like I personally had my parents do this to me, especially my dad more so, and it's very fatiguing on a child. So that would be the first thing, is as a parent, if your child says, I'm a bad kid, or I think I'm a bad kid, that doesn't mean you're a bad parent at all. You know, it can make us feel maybe really guilty that maybe we disciplined them too strongly about something, a behavior that they did that was, you know, bad or inappropriate. I kind of like the word inappropriate rather than bad. Good, bad is like a subjective thing. So yes, to check our own self and our own reaction to that. And we might even have sometimes our own thoughts of like wanting to be a good person or a bad person, and maybe even wanting other people to think that we are a good person or a bad person. And so I think around this whole topic of being good or bad, and our kids kind of triggering us with thinking they're good or bad, is for us to first come to terms with that whole story within ourselves, and with seeking approval from other people outside of ourselves, and perhaps even how we evaluate other people as being good or bad, and learning to see people more for their inner essence, I guess their soul essence is maybe what I'm getting at, rather than the good or bad behaviors that they are putting out into the world, you know, which are a result of thought processes, emotions, experiences they have had, traumas, good experiences, skills, privileges, a whole mix of the things, you know? So I think, yeah, I guess this is getting into a bit more of a deeper conversation, but observing the world as, and people, seeing people for their essence rather than the tip of the iceberg, is something that has just helped me in general for loving and accepting myself and others. So when a child says that, I take it seriously, because I know that they're kind of suffering and sad inside, but I also don't take it too seriously. Kids have a tendency to exaggerate, and it's gonna be temporary. Kids can usually let go of things pretty quickly and move up and down through things. So I just try to hold that stillness and not let myself get triggered. You know, I feel more compassion for them when they go through things like this. So that's one thing. Another thing I would add is that sometimes they might say this because they actually want us to try to convince them otherwise. And I don't know if as an adult, maybe you've done this to yourself, where, you know, you want someone to flatter you and say like, oh, my hair looks terrible today. And then people say, no, it really doesn't. You look great. You look fat. No. Really, it just looks so horrible. No, you look so good, you know? And we're like asking for people to praise us or convince us otherwise, and we're kind of seeking attention. And it is like a state of victimhood. If we look at the drama triangle of hero, villain, victim, it's a state of victimhood of saying like, oh, I'm so bad, or, you know, it's like, am I fat? You know, I'm so fat. And then people say, no, you're not. You're definitely not. You look great. You know, things like that. it's a play of manipulation, of victimhood, and then seeking other people to give us attention and to try to convince us otherwise. And so as a parent, I don't want to feed that victimhood cycle. And so what this mom said that she usually does is she tries to say, that's not true. That's so not true. You know, that's not true. And I can understand where that's coming from. You know, that would be most people's reaction. You know, if I were to say, my hair looks horrible, and someone would say, that's not true. It's so not true. Your hair looks great today. You know, something like that. That's like what's the next instinct if we're continuing to play the game, you know, especially for a child? What's the first instinct to that? Of course it is. You know, it's like a fight back. It's like, no, I am bad. No, it's not true. I am bad. No, it's not true, but I am. And it becomes this battle. And so it actually enforces that victimhood, and the child like keeps fighting our fight, right? And so what I said, and this is just, you know, my perspective, maybe different situations and different children and different parents and different energies and vibes work differently, you know, so try different things and see what works and how you feel in your own unique personal experience. But this is what I have kind of observed. And so one thing that I like to do, this is the work from Byron Katie at the Four Questions, which if you don't know about it, I highly encourage you look into it, or maybe if you guys are interested, I can do a workshop specifically on the work of Byron Katie. And I would just ask, is that true? Is that 100% true? And you just turn it around. You just open up curiosity. And then they have to ask themselves, oh, is it true? Am I saying something that's true? And then they might say like, yeah, of course it's true. And it's like, oh, you're bad. Are you a bad kid all the time? And you just ask them questions. Like, yeah, I'm horrible all the time. You just always yell at me. And so I'm always so bad. It's like, oh, well, I wonder about that thing you did the other day. Would bad kids do that? You know, that beautiful, the way you made your bed, or the way you helped me, you know, make cookies or whatever. Would a bad kid do that? And I go, I don't know, like, no, or I don't know. And then it'd be like, oh, well, I guess you're not a bad kid all the time. And this is, of course, depending on the age of the child, but I would, that's like kind of the kind of conversation I would get curious about and just open up. And it's like, we're not actually seeking to change that thought, because this is one thing, even in adults and in children, that no one wants their thoughts to be changed by someone else, actually. And really, no, like, external people can't change our thoughts. Our thoughts change internally. And that's the most sustainable way they are going to change. And one of the best ways to do that is to simply ask questions and to not even be attached. You know, they may even fight you, and you could be like, all right, maybe it's true then. I still love you. You know, something like that. just play with it, try different things and see how it lands. I had another thought about it. See, maybe I am getting tired and this nighttime thing is coming in. Seeking attention, playing with them. Oh yeah, a fun thing that I do with my kids is I tell them, if they say something bad about themselves, I say, please take care how you talk about my child. I love my child so dearly. I have loved my child since they came out of my womb and I first held them and they nursed at my breast. And I think my child is one of the most beautiful creatures on earth. And I would really appreciate if you could speak about my child kindly. And I kind of like exaggerate that one a little bit and play into the drama of it, and then it turns a little bit fun and the kids laugh at me quite a bit, you know, even if they're doing something to their body or whatever, or they say something about their body, I say, please take care of that body. I love that body. I feed that body the best food that I can find for it. I have cared for that body for all these years. Please be careful with that body. Things like that, you know? So it's not like, oh, you have to change. It's, well, I love this person, this body so much. And it's, there's like a little bit of a separation there that's happening. I love this child so much. And so it's not me convincing them to have a specific thought. It's just sharing a perspective, I guess. You know, I guess it's like the same as saying like, well, I think you're a good kid, but you're kind of coming around the back door a little bit. And finally, this was something that I used to do with my eldest when she was younger, and I kind of forgot about it, and I might play with this a little bit more. But it was about how we see the world. I can't remember the context of this, but I remember she would be like, nothing's working today. Ugh, you know what? She still kind of says that at night. I think I'm gonna have to use this on her. She'd say things like, nothing's working today. This is just a bad, sucky day. And I said, oh, do you have your sucky day glasses on? Do we forget to put on your good day glasses on? Oh, maybe I need to find my tune. Where did I put them? You start looking for your fun day glasses, or your you know, everything's bright and shiny, or unicorn glasses, whatever. And you take them out and you like put on your your unicorn glasses. And you say, oh, this is much better. Oh, I see something beautiful. I see some shiny blue eyes in front of me. I see some beautiful hair. I hear some giggles, you know, and with your shiny unicorn glasses, then you can see the beautiful things and the happy things in life. And I think I would tell Leia that I would put my rose colored glasses on, or something that she needed her rose colored glasses on. And then we would just have a lot of fun. So yeah, with kids, it's all about creativity and fun, and yeah, I would say letting them be where they're at. You know, I remember, this is one point that I kind of want to bring up with parents and people as well. One of the things my dad used to say to me is like, I just want you to be happy. I just want you to be happy. And for years, I was actually quite depressed and really anxious, and I felt like I was disappointing him all those times, because I was so miserable, and he just wanted me to be happy. And so then he was miserable that I was unhappy, and my mom too, you know, she was quite affected by my periods of depression, and understandably so, 100%. But being the one who went through that, and having my parents be so torn up and affected by my emotional state, from my perspective, I feel like it could have been nice to have someone say like, it's okay for you to be where you're at, and I love you, you know, and also to not like drown with me. And so it's something I think about for my kids, that I wish them for sure a happy life. But if they have to go through periods of sadness and darkness and strife in order to get to their highest potential and most amazing life, then, you know, then maybe that's what needs to be. And I will be there for them, and I will be sitting in presence and love for them as they go through it. I think it kind of reminds me of supporting women in childbirth. You know, they're going through like some of the most extreme physical pain that you can feel in your life, and you just sit there knowing that they're able to get through it. It's a beautiful thing. So I feel, I guess it's like a similar energy to that. So I hope some of that is helpful to you guys. Thank you for listening, and you know, rate the podcast and leave reviews is super helpful, or leave comments if you have questions, send me emails. I love all the interaction and connecting with everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and I wish you a beautiful rest of your day wherever you are. May you follow your joy.
The walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.